prophet Ezekiel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
If you've ever seen the epic Lord of the Rings trilogy as directed by Peter Jackson, it is entirely likely that you remember the scene in The Return of the King where Pippin scales the rocky cliffside to light the signal beacons in Minas Tirith, and in turn the rest of the beacons of Gondor are lit in response. Now in the cinematic masterpiece, the fires are set atop high mountain peaks for the obvious cinematic effect. But I think this presents a pretty unrealistic scenario. Having the beacons located as such is just impractical. And for nerds, teasing out the theological implications of the lighting of the beacons of Gondor, this is a problem. In the books, they are described as being on the foothills, which makes way more sense, considering that these beacons would have to be manned around the clock with fresh watchmen, regardless of the conditions of the weather. These were people whose lives would be devoted to keeping this watch, to warn of danger, and to call for aid. So every aspect of their lives would revolve around these beacons, including where they eat, sleep, and live. And a mountain peak isn't really suitable for any of those things. Okay, so all of those things aside, you would imagine that anyone caught sleeping on their ship or, God forbid, found absent during such a time of need would be in a world of trouble with the king. Well, this was the job that Ezekiel was given by God. He was to serve as a sentinel, a watchman for the people of Israel. He was to take the warnings that God gave him and relay them to the people. God was very clear that if Ezekiel refused to deliver this warning, the blood of the people was on him. But if he fulfilled his duty, whatever the people of Israel did, well, that was on them. If they chose to remain in their wickedness, they would suffer the wrath of God, and Ezekiel would be found blameless. To bring the illustration out of Middle Earth into our own day, I just saw yesterday on the news an interview with a fire chief in a Florida city. When asked about those who choose to ignore the mandatory evacuations, he basically said that, unfortunately, they're on their own. In the midst of a raging hurricane, the department wouldn't be able to risk the safety of their first responders to attend those who ignored the warning. Okay, so what does this have to do with any of us? We aren't Israel, facing our destruction at the hand of our God whom we have offended, and we surely aren't the people of Middle Earth, facing the armies of the dark world of Sauron. So, who are we? We are called to be Ezekiel. Ever since Christ came and established and empowered his church with the Holy Spirit, we've been called to various functions. One of those functions is as a prophetic voice. This is a great responsibility, just as it was with Ezekiel, just as it was with the watchman of Gondor, and just as it is with our National Weather Service. It is our job to speak to the culture against the dangers and difficulties of our modern lives. Now, one aspect of that responsibility is not to be overly alarmist, looking for the work of Satan or the wrath of God under every rock, or at least in every current bad and world event, declaring that various natural disasters were sent from God to punish everyone who did or didn't vote for a particular political candidate, or that the latest young adult fiction novel was written by the devil himself. It's not doing anyone any good. That prophetic voice becomes that of the boy who cries wolf, and eventually people stop listening. Think Westboro Baptist Church. I don't know anyone who takes those people seriously. So first we have to have the wisdom to properly assess those things which are truly a threat, the values we see in the world that are contrary to the will of God. That wisdom comes through prayer and study of Scripture. So So knowing when to speak is important, but knowing what to speak is even more so. The unified voice of the church needs to be one that serves to both denounce the ills of our society and uphold the virtues of a Christian life and worldview. The church as an institution must speak out against evil with our doctrine and our teaching, and come together to support those who are actively fighting against that evil, either in the public sphere or in their own private lives. And as individual Christians, we are called to speak the truth into the lives of those around us and walk alongside those who God has given to us. In this, we have to have the courage to be bold and trust that God will be ever going before us to strengthen and protect us. And finally, when we know when to speak and what to speak, we have to know how to speak. Again, looking at Westboro, even if they do happen to be speaking against legitimate evils in the world, their message becomes counterproductive due to their method of delivery. Standing around with offensive signs and hateful slogans isn't the way to win hearts to Christ. Or maybe, have you seen those chick tracts, those lovely little comic books that have such wonderful descriptions of all the people that they believe will be going to the torment of the fires of hell? In a nice little comic form. These are not helpful. You cannot scare someone through love. Obedience may be, but God desires so much more. And so our efforts take patience, and that kind of patience requires love. The church, she stands guard as a sentinel with the prophetic voice of a watchman. We light the beacons that call all people into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And we ask God for the wisdom, courage, and love to fulfill this duty, so that when we stand before God in judgment, we can be sure that we were never caught sleeping when it was our turn to sound the alarm. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.